Welcome to the Logistics of Logistics, a podcast dedicated to exploring how things get places and the people who get them there. We'll talk with logistics and supply chain leaders about innovation, industry trends, and the future of the logistics business. Now, here's your host, Joe Lynch.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Logistics of Logistics. Today, I have an awesome guest, an awesome friend of mine, and the topic is Freight Moves on Relationships and Trucks with Nicole Glenn. Welcome, Nicole.
Good morning, Joe. Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be on the show, and hopefully everybody gets some great content out of this discussion. I'm excited about it.
Yep. So I was thinking my monthly visit to the gym. Finally, our gyms are open here a little bit. They'll probably close again because we're in the COVID-19
era. I was going to say, give it a week.
Yep. And I was at the gym and I thought of this topic title, which is Freight Moves on Relationships. And I was thinking, who would I get to do this with me? And I was like, oh, I got to have Nicole. I have to have Nicole for this one because this is right up her alley. And when I called her and I said, would you do this podcast with me on this topic? She's like, that's perfect for me. Yes.
That's what I thought. I was like, this is the best topic he could ever ask me to be on the show for.
Well, and it's because I know you do believe in relationships. You're the one of those people who is out of your way to build relationships. And I think it's great. And I think that as you guys listen to this podcast, you're going to realize how great Nicole is at relationship building. So before we get too far into this, Nicole, tell us a little bit about you and your company.
Sure. Well, again, my name's Nicole Glenn, and I am the owner and very active president of a company called Candor Logistics. The company is based in Joliet, Illinois. It's where headquarters is, but I took the plunge and came down to Hot, Texas this past October to start our office number two. So our company is designed to really help our clients with that race against time. And what I mean by that is helping them make sure that they're keeping their commitments to their customers with expedited shipping and white glove deliveries.
Nice, nice. How long have you been in Texas yourself?
Well, I mean, I've been traveling here for years, but permanently a resident since October of this past year.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's summertime, so it's really hot up here in the Midwest. I guarantee it's probably 100 degrees in Chicago anyway. It's 100 degrees here in Detroit.
Yeah, I checked the temperature at night just for fun, and it'll say 96, feels like 103. I'm like, this is Texas. Tank tops and flip-flops, that's what it's about.
Nice. Well, and again, I know it's a great state for freight, and that's where you belong. So tell us a little bit about you growing up. Where'd you grow up? Where'd you go to school? Tell us about your early life.
I'm from that town that everybody seems to know, that you could tell someone who's lived in Alaska. I grew up in Naperville, Illinois. It just seems to be one of those anchor points for Illinois. I actually went to a college called Northwood University, which was a very cool program.
Me too.
Yeah, I know. We discovered we're alumni together. And it was a business and marketing degree that I obtained there. So I'm a mom. I have three awesome kids. I am a survivor of twins. So I have two 11-year-old boys that keep me crazy. And then I have a girl in high school. She's 15.
So you got them like strapped down, mouths taped somewhere in the office?
Oh my gosh. And they would figure out how to get that tape off to go, mom, mom, mom. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned Naperville, Illinois. So I'm from Detroit, but I have family in Milwaukee. And so I've made that trip a bazillion times. That in Chicago, everybody stops in the Naperville exit.
They do.
Do you have the outlet shops there?
No, those are actually, I think, in Aurora. But there's this really cool downtown area of Naperville.
I'm trying to think. So I know I made that exit a lot of different times because it's outside Chicago, but no one wants to stop in the Chicago traffic.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why. It's just that point that everyone goes, oh, yeah, I know where that is. I have a cousin who lives there. So it's so funny to me.
All right. So tell us a little bit about your early career and what you did going up to today.
Oh, well, I started my career as an 18-year-old fall into logistics person. So I was working at an automotive retail store and this guy comes in and he's asking me a question. I'm working at the parts counter and I remembered his order and he's like, come have a job with me. So I thought that was really weird, you know, being an 18-year-old kid offered a job. But at night after I was done with my shift, I had this business card and I went over to his facility and I put my hands up around the window and went, okay, let's try this. So I called him and started working at this company of three other people. And most of them were very much older than I was. So I became the kid of this company. But it was a really cool experience. I mean, I would tell people I was in logistics and trucking and they were like, huh? Because I say I was in logistics when logistics wasn't cool. It wasn't that, you know, people went to school for it. People got degrees for it.
Jeff Bezos wasn't doing it.
No. So it was a really awesome opportunity because the person that I worked for would put those dually headsets on with the big green mute button. So you'd like turn it on and off. So I got a lot of experience on listening to people. You know, that was the whole concept. And also too, I mean, we had the DAT computer. So there was at one point in time, it was just dedicated to the DAT. And you had your DAT daily fax that came to your office. I'd get in the office and that was sitting there. And so it was really a blessing of a time for me because you only had relationships. You didn't have LinkedIn. You didn't have Zoom info where you could look up a supply chain manager's phone number and their cell phone and give them a call. So it was an awesome chance to start there. And I've worked for a couple other companies too. Right.
I think it's also great to, if you can work at a small company where you really, no one talks about empowering people at companies like that. You are day one empowered. Go.
Oh, fire. You're thrown in the fire. I think I had 4 days of listening to my boss and he's like, all right, book a load. And I remember having to debate drivers on detention. And I mean, people yelling at me and I'm like, okay, I got to figure this out. So it was definitely a fire experience, but that was what you had to do, you know? So like I had said too, I'd gone on to some other different companies. So I've been an owner operator, booking of backhaul situations. So I got to get yelled at by drivers who would march into our company and go, Nicole, what's with this crappy paying load? And I'd be like, why did I have to offer you 7? So it kind of gave me this backbone of working in the industry, working at some of these smaller companies in different roles, which then led me into sales, which became one of my faves. So I got to really put the sales hat on and dive into my career there. And that's where I think I really grew because, as you could tell, I'm a natural born talker, communicator. So I worked at a company that really fostered that beginning relationship of sales for me. And I got that beautiful little script that said, hi, my name's Nicole and I work at this company and this is what we do. So I've been in the expedited space for quite some time.
Yeah, it's interesting when you first started in logistics, I think most of us, you know, nice people, we're not used to really frank or even pointed language. So the idea that you would at 18 years old or 25 years old for that matter say, hey, where are you? You said you'd be there an hour ago.
Yeah.
You started with that, which is great because I think, you know, you go through school and it's all kind of very formal language. And you say, yeah, the way you would handle this is, and then you get into logistics and it's like, no, that doesn't always work.
Yeah, I agree. And you just become very blunt. Most people.
Yeah. Just be honest with me, dude.
Right. No lies. So I then had an opportunity to work hand in hand with a business owner that I respected very much. And we grew a very small brokerage into an asset-based trucking company, as well as a pretty good player in the truckload brokerage piece. So, I mean, it just went from Sprinter vans and straight trucks up to doing some really good stuff. So I learned a lot there. And that's really the last place that I worked. I mean, I was there for almost 8 years and it pushed me to going, okay, I think I'm ready to be an entrepreneur. So it just shoved me into that space.
So when did you start Candor?
It was May of 2017 that I took the plunge into owning my own thing.
So you have a 3-year-old in addition to your other 3 kids.
I do. I call it my baby. Every year when I post about it, I'm like, happy birthday. I don't say anniversary because I tell everybody it's my intangible child, you know, needs babysitting and love and all that fun stuff.
Right. So today's topic is freight moves on relationships and trucks. And we all know this is true. And I think people don't realize some of the problems you get when you don't have those good relationships. Talk a little bit about what happens when you don't go. And this, we're talking about shippers. What happens to shippers, supply chain people, when they don't build relationships with their 3PLs and carriers?
Well, Joe, I think there's 2 different categories that these issues fall under. There is measurable things that you could take a look at with reporting. And then there's really these intangible costs that you really can't measure. And so I'd love to kind of bust into both of those. So with in regards to measurable type of things that a shipper can look at, you can look at your on-time service reports and see that that creates issues when you do not have those solid relationships.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to see that you might have some late shipments because, you know, your carriers don't put that extra oomph to make sure that that driver's there on time. Or
they might not even know your requirements as well, because you don't have those relationships. You don't have those conversations.
Right, right. And so you just have this gap in communication when it comes to that, because you're not able to say, what can we do to dive into this and make sure that this is there on time? You know, who are you meeting? So again, it falls into this measurable type of things that you get with damages. You know, you see a lot of damage. You see some billing issues, you know, where people aren't.
For sure.
Yeah, they're not going through and getting those authorizations approved. Maybe they don't know the process of, hey, we're on site, you know, we've been here for 4 hours, we're hitting that detention time, or I've been sitting outside of the gate, no one will let us in, and there could be 100 trucks, you know. So it's just these measurable things that end up costing the shipper money. You know, it's a consistent thing that happens. And then again, that leads to some of these other soft cost things where, you know, you're hiring as a shipper more people to possibly be on your payroll and to manage your portals, you know, where people have to go in and put stuff into your TMS to say that they're on site and here's your POD. And so you really have to add money to micromanage your carriers.
Right. If I could add something in there, Nicole, is, you know, you can, if somebody says we launch and we've brought a new 3PL on board, new carriers involved, you could follow things and do things to the letter of the law and have the conversations you need and be very formal and say, I did everything I was supposed to do, but skip the relationship part. And it's that little extra where you say, you know, ask about their kid or talk about their vacation, little things. And again, not that that's going to make your freight all of a sudden magically go great, but it's the oil that keeps the machine running smoothly.
Yeah.
It's that hard to point at where somebody says, hey, Nicole, how are you going to develop a relationship today with Joe? You got to have some sort of conversation that hopefully goes beyond point A to point B. That's very business formal.
Yeah, it just makes you want to do something of the right nature for someone that you have a relationship with. You know, it just keeps this unsaid accountability. You know, it's like, you know that you're going to talk to Joe and he's going to ask you questions and you're going to become friends and you're going to feel like there's going to be this little weight on you. You're not performing to the expectation that you expect right. to give Joe. So it's a cycle. But I did some things too, and I can just tell from making some videos and reaching out to some of my customers, you know, just thanking them for their business. The ones who came back to me and said things like, wow, thank you so much for reaching out, and the gratitude that you're sharing to our company really means a lot to us. So then the attitude of my team when they hear these things, it's like, oh, they value us. They see us. And that makes a huge difference. So you just get this, you get a lack of respect, you know, and when you don't.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. We talked when we're prepping for this is I have this thought in my head all the time that the customers who hold me at arm's length in any business I've ever been in, the customers that hold me at arm's length, who don't have time for a little chit chat, who don't have time to go out to lunch, who don't want to do the QBR. Oh, I can't do a weekly meeting or a monthly meeting. Those are the customers. I don't know if they think they're being more efficient. They think they're being more effective. I think that it hurts the relationship, and I think it hurts the overall performance.
And I agree, because when you have a solid relationship with the shipper, all those little nuances that they have that are happening behind the scenes, say you're a VP of supply chain, there's no way that you can see what's happening on the dock. You know, there's no way for you to understand every single level of what's going on at your company. So when you have a relationship, people feel comfortable to call you and talk to you or even host these meetings with you to say, hey, I noticed that this is happening and maybe we can come up with a solution for this. Or I noticed that you've been shipping out partials to different locations that are really en route that, right. you know, if we can work on an extra day for this, you know, we're going to save you $2,200. So right. those are some of the solutions that come through when you have a relationship with someone at the company.
So let's switch gears for a second. So we talked a little bit about the problems, and you mentioned the immeasurable stuff, late shipments, damage, billing issues, all that. That's the measurable stuff. The hard to measure stuff is the bad communication, maybe a poor attitude, lack of visibility, lack of transparency. Again, it's a little easier to have a lack of integrity, I think, for some people mm-hmm. when they don't have a relationship where they're like, oh, they don't give a damn about me. Why should I give a damn about them, right?
Yeah.
So those are the things, the bad things that can happen if you don't have the relationship. Let's talk about the good things that come with a relationship.
Well, you definitely get a difference of service. So in most cases, when the relationship is strong, your carriers are going to want to perform and give you superior service and communication. They are going to feel obligated and want to get that in your face as often as possible.
Right. You're that shipper of choice. You're that, whether you're the 3PL or the shipper, you're the guy that says, you know what? I want to do a good job because I like working with Nicole and I like working with that shipper.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And I've been to a lot of carrier conferences for top Fortune 100 companies, and you'll get a director or a VP of supply chain hosting a round table and the room opens up. And he's going, okay, guys, this is your roundtable. Tell me what our company needs to do to improve. And I can tell in being in those situations on who really has that relationship with this gentleman, because he's asking for you to go, hey, and the room's quiet. So, you know, I have to chime in and say something, you know, hey, we can do this better. But the whole point of that is to, again, trade those solutions, open that communication, and try to excel for the customer.
Yeah. Also, you know, Nicole, if we're friendly and I say, Nicole, I really need you to tell me, I want good feedback on this podcast or this, help me improve. If we're friendly, if we have a relationship, that's easy. That's an easy conversation, easier conversation for you. If you don't have a relationship at all, and it's just very formal, and I've always exchanged emails, have only business-oriented meetings, and I say, hey, Nicole, shoot me straight. Tell me everything I should do to improve. Now you're like, oh, I don't know. Maybe Joe's going to be super sensitive. I don't want him bursting into tears and running out of the room.
Yeah, it just creates a sense of like comfort. You know, that you know that that other person is open to listening to that criticism or whatever you need to throw out there to help.
I also notice that sometimes if you don't know someone, you don't know what jokes you can say. You don't know whether you can say, I like to joke around. But if you don't know the people, you can't joke around. And I feel and also, I know not everybody does this. Some people like to swear. And you don't want to swear in front of that guy because you're like, I don't know, maybe that guy really is going to be offended. I don't want to offend anybody. So you have people all working not quite in that, in a comfortable sense. But anyway, continuing on beyond superior service, what else do they get when they have good relationships?
Well, I mean, if you're working with a truckload carrier and say they dropped the ball, they had a shipment breakdown or truck breakdown, they're going to look at that and go, okay, my client needs this there tomorrow. So they're going to try to repower that. They're going to try to get that potentially expedited. If you're doing LTL, you know, someone might want to hop in there and make sure that they put it on an expedited unit to get that delivered. So I like to call that the freebies that happen. You know, I have some clients too, when things go wrong and we have a great relationship and we're both understanding that something happened out of both of our control. At the same time too, my price to my customer is going to match the service that they got. And so if it's a breakdown, I'm going to say, hey, you know, I'm really sorry for this. We did X, Y, and Z to fix it, but I'm reducing your bill. You know, there's no way that you're going to pay full amount for that type of stuff.
And you can never give those freebies. You can never give a discount to somebody who you don't have a relationship with. The only way you win that business is go, yeah, they quote every one of their shipments out and I was the lowest bidder and I won that business and now I'm supposed to give a discount. I'm never working with them again. Screw it. Why would I give a discount? Right.
And some of these companies too, when they enter into these relationships, you know, a new service provider or 3PL, that can happen, but it's very short lived. So they kind of put it out there. If something goes wrong, they've been working with the shipper for a month, you know, they're going super low on their pricing. Something goes wrong, they fix it. And that's in the hopes that that relationship will be cultivated. A month or two later, you know, you haven't gotten anywhere with that customer. You're just a quote. Right. Something breaks down. I mean, you probably aren't going to go above and beyond to make sure that one's fixed. Yeah.
I always think that this is what I want on these relationships. I want a marriage, not a date.
Love me forever.
Those kind of relationships because that's where you can invest in that relationship. So continuing on, you mentioned superior service, better communication, the freebies. I love that. You're getting a free expedite when maybe something goes wrong on the 3PL side. What's another thing they get a benefit from good relationships?
Well, a big element is being familiar with that account. you know, understanding the needs and the expectations of that customer, understanding, you know, the people that are on the dock and getting the driver to know the person on the dock. And he knows the process of check-in and getting loaded and getting that freight counted and getting out the door. It just creates this familiar sense of working with the customer. And even that delivery portion, you know, you start to get to even know your customer's customer. So that consignee becomes someone that you see often, or you talk to, or you schedule as appointments, and it just makes everything flow and gel together.
Yep. Nicole and I talked about this. I like to call this account familiarity, although I'm never sure that I'm going to be able to say that word, familiarity. Yeah. So Nicole said, I'm not chancing it, but I thought I'd give my two cents on it. I feel like when you get a new account, you struggle sometimes where you say, okay, I've got a new driver picking up at a new location. The driver doesn't know the guy on the dock. He doesn't know the guys in the office, right? And your account manager doesn't know the drivers yet. Maybe not even the guy on the dock. Everything's new. Yep. And the chances for screw-ups when everybody's brand new to that relationship is so much higher. You're so much better off after a few months of working together where you say, oh, we try and pick up early on Mondays because we know that Jeff on the dock goes golfing. Oh, and his wife's having a baby next week, so he's not going to be in. You don't know these things until you build relationships. And so you start having some of these side conversations. And again, not that you can't build a relationship with formal stuff, but I think sometimes it's the side communication that really drives some of that.
Yeah, and that's us too with some of our clients. You know, they have some challenging customers themselves. So it's trying to save our client money. You know, we'll go, hey, are you sure about that? Normally we have to call the point of contact, or normally they need a pallet jack, or so it just irons out some of those issues in advance, you know, that.
Right.
Yep.
So what's another one? What's another advantage of building a good relationship?
Well, you get this whole like package of communication where you invest in that relationship with things like QBRs. You know, you're wanting to go to your client and give them those metrics and talk through that stuff and really understand too what they need from you to improve and make the experience of each shipment positive, you know. So you're going to ask those questions and your customer should be able to supply that information. But it's the same way going the other way. It's reciprocated, right? Where
but you're investing. You're investing in the relationship, both your time and maybe even money, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it could be technology where, you know, you're putting them on different platforms so they have that visibility. But anything that you can do, you're going to, you know, you might hire an account manager and get them to understand everything in regards to that. But you can't invest if you don't have a relationship.
Yeah. If it's transactional, you go, oh boy, we did a shipment with them. I'm going to assign account manager. And what technology do you need? No, you can invest in a marriage. You can't invest too much in a date. I mean,
right.
It's
limited funds on a date. Yeah.
Well, you don't want to be too cheap.
Right.
You won't get that second date, right?
Right. No, so just taking that time to make sure you understand the customer and putting those investments behind it.
So what's another thing that benefit I get from having a good relationship with my 3PL and carriers?
You get that speed of trust.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So it is part of the whole process of developing that trust and getting to know the parties. So you had made mention about this book that was written by Stephen Covey, right?
Yep. I love that concept because if I know you and we've worked together and I trust you, you trust me, we have this relationship. And then when you're not there to make a decision and I say, yeah, but Nicole trusts me. I know she's would want me empowered here. There's a trust, there's a relationship. You can't have trust without relationships. Mm-hmm. So at that point, I can make that call. And so Nicole might not have been available. She might have been, you know, the day off or whatever, but business continues. Good stuff happens when you have relationships and that trust.
Oh, yeah. Because you're going to react with the best intention for the client.
Yep. So I'm going to summarize these real quick. And then I want you to tell us how we can foster relationships. So some of the advantages you talked about, better service, superior service, that just naturally happens when you have good relationships. Good communication, the idea of freebies, cost reductions when there's a bad shipment. Maybe I get a free expedite. Maybe I get a discount because something went wrong. You don't get that when you're transactional. Account familiarity. I said it again. And then also the 3PL or the carrier can start to invest time and effort and even money into a relationship. You can start to say, yeah, we'll invest in this relationship because we have lots of business with you and we have a relationship going. And then lastly, the speed of trust, which is what we just talked about. So Nicole, we have some natural disadvantages when we're in the logistics business. I could be based in California and have customers in Florida. How do we go about building and fostering relationships when we're all busy and mostly really big distances between us and our customers?
Well, I mean, one of the things that we make sure that we strive to do, and I highly suggest, is scheduling regular meetings with your clients. You know, it doesn't have to be this 2-hour to-do. It could just be something that's hosted on Thursdays at 10 a.m. You could do Zoom. I know a lot of people are not getting into actually see some of their clients, but hosting these Zoom calls and being face-to-face, kind of, but then bringing additional people from your companies on. You know, it doesn't have to just be the sales rep and the supply chain manager. You want to bring in those tiers of people that are interacting in this and just talking about ways that everybody can consistently and continuously improve on both sides. And I think with those conversations, those solutions come, those fixes come, and it really justifies that cost that people associate to having these types of meetings.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, it can be very, it seems to go back and forth. A lot of people say, you know, we're too busy. We don't have meetings. That's not, our company culture doesn't allow that. We don't want to waste time. But I think if you're doing 200 LTL shipments a week with it, it makes sense to talk about which ones were late, what caused it. Let's talk about the bills that went bad. Let's discuss that. Let's fix it so it doesn't happen again. And I also like the idea of when we kick off those regularly scheduled meetings is getting, if you're the shipper, bring in the boss.
Yeah.
You know, have this be, have him show his support and say, hey, this is a kickoff meeting. I'm not going to come to all these meetings, but I want to set the tone. I want to make sure this is productive. I want to make sure we cover the following and get his list of things you want to get done.
Sure. And I think that creates a element to want to foster those relationships because as we know in every business, the way that a company's ran starts at the top. So if that boss and that VP or whoever that title is that needs to be a part of this, even just sporadically, it creates that foundation of what the company's like, what the shipper's like, and sometimes what the 3PL is like, you know, if that owner gets on the call. And it just, again, creates this relationship because if, you know, you're working with some of these clients and sometimes if they're mistreating your employees, you know, again, as a business owner myself, I'm going to take a look at that and analyze that as, is that somebody that I want to work with? Because obviously there's something wrong with that company culture.
Right. Shipper of choice begins at the top. And, you know, the guy on the dock could say, yeah, I'm going to be a shipper of choice. And he might be a guy you really like picking up at that location. But if your guys at the 3PL or the carrier start getting nasty phone calls and we're not going to pay for this bill and we're not paying for that detention, you start to develop some of these negative negative things, you're going to walk on those. And I mean, again, it doesn't have to be that way. Build this relationship.
Yeah. And I think that also comes in with some of these informal phone calls, you know, where you can just call some of the people you work with at the shipper and just discuss some of those things, but also talk about opportunities, things that are in the pipeline that maybe your company can do outside of their normal scope to support them and the customer being outside of their normal scope.
Right. Those continuous improvement initiatives, no one ever says no to a continuous improvement discussion.
Well, they shouldn't. Right? They shouldn't. I think sometimes they do, but they shouldn't. So another thing too,
that's a good reason to fire them right there.
Yeah. Is having some fun with my clients. You know, I think hosting the barbecues and getting out there, I know it's hard to do with COVID right now, but some of the things that have been great for me and creating some great relationships is been happy hours, you know, and getting out of your element and take some of that formalness off and just kind of become a person and get to know who you're working with.
Yeah, the management consultant and author, Tom Peters, he's kind of more of an 80s guy, maybe 90s guy, but I love that guy. He said the very best business meeting is a barbecue. Mm-hmm. And because everyone's got a drink in their hand, something to eat, and it's just the casual environment is perfect for kind of greasing the skids, you know, getting the right communication to happen.
Yeah. And then people can see your true colors. You know, they can see your character and your personality that ultimately probably ties to how you run your business, but you could just have fun with them. I think I had made mention to you before I went to a conference and we're all just kind of hanging out. And one of the main salespeople that I never really had a chance to talk to, I had this like perception, like he didn't like me. You know, and then he's at this and we're just casually talking. And he's like, you do a great job. And I was like, yes. I mean, it's a casual right. event for people to just relax a little bit.
Right. And when if you think somebody doesn't like you for whatever reason, or doesn't think you're doing a good job, you're kind of already disconnecting.
Yeah,
right?
It's natural.
Yeah. No one wants to be rejected. So yeah, makes sense. So what some other ways we can foster relationships?
Well, I mean, it's just constantly trying to reach out to your clients and dive into every level on where you can help them. You know, again, just making sure that you're having fun with them. You're being able to give them a call and have these informal discussions.
I like it.
Yeah. And just hosting, like I said, I keep wanting to say this, but host these meetings, you know, whether they're online, in person, whatever.
Yep.
That can lift the groups.
I think one of the things, the nice thing that came out of the COVID-19 thing is the Zoom calls. I know like a lot of companies are, I think my daughter works at a company where they're like doing cocktail hour, the Zoom calls, and they're all different locations. But I think that's a cool way to go just because, you know, you go around the room,
yeah.
New definition of a room, go around the block and talk about everybody.
Yeah.
Talk about what's going on with everybody.
I was talking to someone the other day. I have a new motivational buddy and we were talking about this and I was asking her how's your company connected? And she said it's been a challenge for them. So I made a suggestion to her. I was like, host one of those happy hours to where you guys can all just let your hair down and just say what's up. You know, my group, what we're doing now too, is a lot of banter. We use Slack. So we're constantly putting memes up there and trying to just get that fun of who we are. And we're hiring some people. So I was saying to my director the other day, I was like, man, it's going to be challenging when this new person comes in to kind of understand the personality. So we're going to have to infuse him into the culture being remote. It's going to be crazy, but let's see how good we do with that.
Well, I know you will do a great job. So, Nicole, this is great stuff. So please summarize this. Put a bow on this bad boy for us, and then we'll talk a little bit of what's going on over at Candor Expedite.
Well, I hate to sound fluffy, but there's no way to avoid it with this topic. So when there are great relationships, it's going to affect the bottom line of everybody's company. You know, there's going to be huge payoffs in behavior and measurable things. And
it's more fun.
Yeah. And that's part of it too. You know, you want to be able to create these relationships that, you know, everyone feels like there's a sense of caring for each other and this camaraderie, you know, even if you're in different companies, pulling everybody together we're all on the same mission. You know, we are all trying to help people keep commitments and grow our companies. So, you know, everyone's in this to be profitable going forward right. and growing. And so if we keep that mindset that relationships are important, and as company owners, understanding that all of that starts at the top of our organization and bleeds into every single position and role of interaction, I think that we will see just leaps and bounds of good things for our companies.
Right. And Nicole, you mentioned you're trying to build the culture of your company to be a place that's responsive to customers and you can have a little bit of fun, ideally make a living so we can all live indoors and eat every day.
Yeah.
If you have a whole bunch of customers where you don't have good relationships with it, that affects your company. So yeah. you really need your customers to be relationship people, be leaders. That's what being a leader is all about, is, you know, getting things done. But I think you do it through people.
Yeah. And I think with my team, one of the things that I try to do is when we're onboarding a client, we're going to host this kind of kickoff phone call with everybody that's going to touch that account on a daily. And we invite our customers to bring all of their people that are going to be a part of us on a daily. And my team can tell, you know, from the first phone call in like 10 minutes, how we are able to banter with the customer, you know, how they're going to accept the quirkiness of our group. Will they pick up the phone? And what's that relationship going to do? So you can tell by hosting these calls. And when we hang up the phone call with some of these clients, that you could tell that energy is there. My team instantly buys in. Instantly. It's like seeing,
you don't want to stop working with them.
No, like you see a quote come and you're like, or a shipment that needs to get picked up. And my client service team is like, oh, so-and-so sent a shipment. We got to get, and there's just this energy that's created by those types of relationships that there's really, you can't even put a cost to it because it's invaluable.
Yep. I love it. I love it. So Nicole, this has been awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Before we finish, though, tell us a little bit what's going on over at Candor Expedite.
Ooh, we're on a growth mode. So I know that that's not common right now for a lot of people with COVID really raining on the parade, but we weren't sure how it was going to go either. But we've had a significant upturn. I don't know if I've made mention of this. Obviously, you could tell from our name, we're an expedited company. So we're doing a lot of different things with different commodities right now. So we transitioned some of that white glove work that we normally do more into the hotshot presence with, you know, hand sanitizer and anything that was essential. But, you know, we're starting to see some of those regular commodities come back on.
So what percentage of your business is expedite?
I would say probably 80% is true hotshot ground shipping.
And then a lot of it, and then you're doing some white glove where you're delivering to homes?
Yeah, we do a lot of B2B with that, you know, so we're doing, and it's died down a little bit due to COVID. There are some different things that we're doing to kind of help the scenario where the driver's putting mask on, doing following kind of like a procedure thing, but we've seen a little bit of a downturn on that. But it's mostly business to business. You know, it could be IT equipment, asset recoveries, things to that nature.
So what else is going on? Do you talk to me a little bit about your Circle app?
Yeah. So I'm really excited about this. Sorry if I just yelled into the microphone. Joe just said it's called The Circle. And one of the things about it is, you know, we're trying to keep everything moving in a continuous motion. So that's why this name of, you know, unifying carriers with our company is a big deal. So this is an app that's going to be focused on the carrier. I know a lot of people tend to start with the customer. We're going with the carrier because we want to be able to really elevate the people that we have great relationships with and give them some kind of priority on some of the work that we're doing. So it's kind of a bidding platform, a carrier compliance piece is in there. And like I said, it really helps us get down to who can do significant things for our company and what we can do to really elevate their company. So that's hopefully going to be out in August.
Yeah. And you said there's an advantage if they're doing a lot of business with you. So you're putting an incentive in there to carriers that work a lot with you. And these would be guys with Sprinter vans and
Straight truck. Yep. So a lot of the logistics needs. So it's tailored to the carrier. So that way, if, you know, they're running liftgate fleets, they're going to get certain bids. And if they're a preferred carrier, they're going to get those bids quicker. So that way we can just treat them as that preferred carrier and, you know, start giving them more business because it's a circle. It's literally like what we want our customers to do. We want to do it for our carrier base. So it's pretty cool.
This is why I wanted you to talk about relationships.
I love it. So we're hiring right now, which is really cool too. So I'm trying to get some people into the Plano office, I guess you could say remote Plano office, to get some good things going on for us too. So
awesome. Thank you so much, Nicole, for taking the time. I really appreciate it. I think this is a great topic. I think you're the perfect person to talk about it because you are a relationship person. And again, I think that to have these relationships, it starts at the top of the house. I think it also, it requires leadership. You can't, in my mind, separate leadership and relationship building. They're overlapping so much. So
I agree.
Thank you so much for being here. And thank you all for listening to my podcast. Your continued support is very much appreciated. Thank you for all the emails. I should also mention, I was telling Nicole this offline. All of a sudden, I get like tons of my listeners are on from Vietnam. And I was like, why is Vietnam all of a sudden? I have more downloads on my last podcast from Vietnam than from Canada. I'm like, I live an hour from Canada, damn it.
Well, I just want to say thank you, Joe, for having me on this. It's been a great experience.
For me too. Yes. I really enjoyed doing this. So thanks again to everyone for listening. And until next time, onward and upward.
You've been listening to the Logistics of Logistics podcast, where we engage in conversations with experts in the logistics field. If you're an expert and would like to be featured on the Logistics of Logistics podcast, please email Joe Lynch at joe@thelogisticsoflogistics.com.